Hello and welcome. Today, you get a chance to eavesdrop on a conversation amongst friends about transitioning to electric vehicles. We will talk with Fred Davey and Lavanna Asbell. I'm happy to have a co-host today, Robert from the Wonderful World of EVs podcast, to help facilitate this conversation. Today is going to be a very good conversation. I've been wanting to have this podcast for a while. We're going to talk about electric vehicles. I tapped into two of my friends, one who's known me since forever, and one of my newer ones, but hey, all the same. We're here with Robert, Fred, and Lavanna. So we'll go ahead and dive right in. Wanted to kind of start with, we have kind of two situations going on here. We have one who recently purchased an electric vehicle and one who's actually in the market or possibly thinking about it. So we'll go ahead and start with Lavanna. What are some of your thoughts about looking for an electric vehicle, or what are your concerns about electric vehicles?
So I'm initially excited about the ideal of not having gas for a car. But at the same time, I'm not for sure of all the dynamics and the variables that go with an electric vehicle. I have a commute. I live in on the West Coast, and I have a commute, you know, daily. Here recently, I have more of an opportunity to work remote. So my thought process was an electric vehicle would help save on the maintenance, wear and tear of my vehicle. So I'm really excited about learning more about electric vehicles and the types that are out there. And I think just from some research and talking with you all a little bit earlier, I was hearing that some of the other dealerships or the other brands of car vehicles were starting to move into the electric vehicle market. I'm excited to learn more about that because I'm thinking I'm kind of sold on one brand, but maybe there are some other brands out there that have recently hit the market. I got my pen and my paper here, so I'm ready to take some notes and learn from the podcast today.
So you're just looking at one brand right now, but you're considering some others?
I am. I've mainly been looking at just the Tesla brand. But again, hearing that this year and maybe at the end of last year, some of the other brands were all going to have at least an electric vehicle of some type in this market. So hoping to hear a little bit more about what might be out there, at least that I could look into and research. Price points are always a piece. As I mentioned earlier, I have children I'm trying to put through college, but at the same token, I know there's a big savings, at least I'm hoping there's a big savings for moving to an electric vehicle, like maintenance on the car and gas.
Fred, you recently purchased an electric vehicle. What did you purchase?
So in September, I purchased a used 2021 Ford Mustang Mach-E, and I love it. And I have a lot to say about electric vehicles, so I'm looking forward to talking about it even more.
On the good note, Lavanna, there are about 40 different EVs on the U.S. market now that you have to choose from. Let me ask you to begin with, what is your typical commute like? How many miles a day do you drive?
Okay, so the miles per day have been shortened. It's only 30 miles door to door one way. The issue with that is along the West Coast, 30 miles could be an hour just sitting in the traffic. So that's where I see wear and tear on my vehicle, but that's also right, stop and go, that type of thing. But that's also where I see gas just sitting on the freeway. My gas is just helping the CO2 emissions out here on the West Coast. So again, if moving to an electric vehicle can help with that, those are the things that really pique my interest about moving into an EV.
Unlike internal combustion engine cars, EVs are actually more efficient in stop and go traffic than they are just driving down the highway. So I think you would have some advantages there. And if your round trip or daily commute, let's say worst case scenario, is 100 miles or less, that really opens the market for EVs for you.
So, Fred, tell me about your experience with your Mach-E. How are you enjoying it?
Well, let me start by saying for the audience, I'm an educator and I'm a high school career and technology educator. And one of the units that I teach in my course. I teach a course on robotics and technology, and I run a STEM lab at a high school. And one of the units that I teach, I've been teaching now for about 3 years, is on electric and autonomous vehicles. So I actually take students through a unit on understanding and learning all about those two types of vehicles. Now, I started off with just autonomous vehicles because I'm more of a robotics person. But this year, I added electric vehicles because I realized that the market was first trying to get electric vehicles established before they get autonomous vehicles established. So we spent this past year studying, researching, and actually I had students ride an electric vehicle, and we also looked at electric bikes, electric scooters, you know, all things electric in terms of transportation in my area. So I wanted to provide that as a background because I've looked at a lot of things. We've talked about a lot of things with students in terms of electric vehicles. So in September, I had been thinking about purchasing a new car because I was driving a 18-year-old Ford F-150 pickup, which I just love. Wow.
Yeah.
But it was 18 years old. I had reached 200,000 miles. Wow. And I told myself once I crossed that 200,000 mile threshold, I could feel good about finding something new to drive. So in September, on a whim, I went out one day after, and I'll be honest with you, I went out after a Washington football victory.
You were feeling good, huh?
Man, I was feeling good. I was feeling good. I had a great win one weekend in September, and I said, man, I'm gonna go out to the car lot. I'm gonna go look at some cars. What prompted me was in my area in Washington, D.C., your car has to go through emission inspection every year. And my truck was just not going to pass. I just knew it was not going to pass emissions inspection. And I didn't think I was going to be able to make it through another winter with my F-150. And I really loved my F-150. I loved the pickup truck. But I told myself, I said, listen, if I'm going to be teaching about electric vehicles, I need to go out here. And if I'm going to talk the talk, I need to walk the walk. So I made a decision. My next car was going to be an EV. So I went out to the Ford dealership. What caught my eye was the commercials on the Mustang Mach-E. You know, I had seen some commercials on it, and I seen maybe one or two on the street. And I kind of liked it. You know, the first thing about buying a car, you have to have that wow factor, right? It has to be attractive to you. You know, it has to be something that you feel good about going out and getting in every day. So that kind of attracted me. I liked that the Mustang Mach-E. I looked at the Tesla. And you know, I know Tesla was popular and a lot of people drive Teslas. It was okay, but I didn't like the interior of the Tesla. It was just kind of really plain to me. It was just a screen and a steering wheel, you know, and I'm like, oh, I still like some of the bells and whistles. So I went to look at the Mustang Mach-E, and I really liked it. I really, really liked the interior. It was very comfortable. I was already in the Ford family with my F-150. I test drove one and I was sold. Now, I will tell you this. At that time, we were going through the supply chain shortage all over the country and all over the world. Mm-hmm. So it was very, very difficult back in September to find cars of any kind, really. You go to some dealerships, there was very slim pickings on what you could buy. And really, it was slim in terms of electric vehicles. Just weren't a lot of electric vehicles out there. So the one Ford dealership, I went to two Ford dealerships. The first one I went to, they had a used Mustang Mach-E, and it was in terrible condition. I mean, they didn't even wash it. They didn't clean the interior. You know, I can't believe you all are trying to sell this car. You don't even clean it, wash it out. So I test drove it. I said, listen, I'm not going to buy this car in the condition that you all have it. If you want to sell this car to me, clean it up. I'll come back tomorrow and show me a nice, shiny so I left, and then I went to another dealership, and just so happens that this other dealership had two Mach-E's. That's it, just two in their entire inventory. And so I sat down, talked to them. I told them, listen, I'm serious about buying a car. If you have something and I like it, I'll buy it. And if anyone has bought a car in this day and age, there's not a whole lot of haggling anymore because the inventory was so low at that time, they didn't have to do anything. They say, look, either you want it or you don't. You know, this is all we had. If you don't buy it, somebody else is going to come in and get it. So I test drove that one. It was clean, nice interior. It was a black one and a white one. I told her I wouldn't buy a white car unless I had a garage to put it in. In DC, I don't have a garage. So I said, I don't want a white car. So I'll take the black. And long story short, I bought it. I did test drive them. I love the pickup. If you know anything about electric vehicles, Vonna, it's a totally different driving experience. I mean, really, really different. It's quiet. The car is quick. It's very responsive from 0 to 60. And for me, it was also about being responsible environmentally. You know, as I said, I was an educator. I wanted to be able to talk from experience and authority to my students about electric vehicles. So I got it.
So a quick question. You had your car for 18 years. Wow. That says something. So what was your students' reactions when they saw your new car?
They were like, wow. They were very impressed. They thought it was really cool. They didn't have a lot of understanding or knowledge of electric cars, but still very new to a lot of people. They don't know. So I let them sit in it. I told them all about it, how I can do everything from a screen in my car. And I can pretty much operate my car with my cell phone. I don't need a key. I can start my car. I can roll down the windows. I can do a lot just from an app on my phone. And I wanted to tell them, say, listen, this is the new technology. This is where we're going. That's where we're moving toward. So it was very impressive for them and helped me to teach the unit on electric vehicles a lot better because they actually had some experience with it.
But speaking of charging, I do have a question. I know that you mentioned that you do not have a garage. Do you still find a way to charge at home, or do you use the DC fast chargers primarily?
So if you know anything about electric vehicles, you know, they tell you you want to avoid as much as possible using the fast chargers. That's the way you can recharge your car very quickly within a few minutes, 30 minutes, you know, at the most. So just like a cell phone, if you're always charging it, you're really going to wear down the life of the battery. So what I do is I have not purchased yet a home charger for my car. I happen to have an outdoor outlet, and I just plug into a regular 12-volt outlet. I just pull into my backyard in my driveway, and I have an outdoor outlet, and I just take an extension cord and the charger cord and plug it in overnight. Now, it charges very slowly, so if I have to do a lot of driving, then that won't work. Then I'll have to go to a fast charger. But let me tell you the other perk that I have at my job. There's a garage that I park at. They have outlets in the garage. So I just always pull into a spot next to an outlet and plug in. So between charging at home and charging at work while I'm working all day, it's not an issue. I don't have to use the fast chargers as much. I only use the fast chargers when I have to drive long distance, maybe out of town, or if I do a lot of heavy driving over a day or weekend or something like that.
Okay. So when we bought our EV, we charged the same way. We just plugged it into a standard household outlet. But with research, I found that most EVs come with charging equipment that has an adapter that you can charge what's called a NEMA 1450, which is a kind of a washing machine plug where you plug an electric washer in. And I believe we paid the electrician $250 to put that plug in at home. And instead of a level one charging at maybe 1 to 3 miles an hour, now the car will charge much faster, probably in the range of 15, 20 miles per hour with just that little change. And the reason I was asking him about charging at home is that for a vast majority of people, their commute is short, and a standard household outlet is all that they need. And for people that would even larger commutes, just that change of outlets to a NEMA 1450 pretty much fits 99% of most needs of charging at home. So most never see a supercharger or a DC fast charger unless they're road tripping.
Right. Okay.
And my commute is very short, and that's why I can do that. I'm about maybe 10 miles from my job. So okay. I don't use a lot. On a regular day, if I'm just going to work and coming home, then I don't use a lot of battery. So I can do that. But I am going to invest eventually in a charger, as Robert said. I do want to get a little faster charge at home. Level two is what they call it. So I can just have that option.
That's good to know. I was going to say, so Fred, I don't know, might be an omen. My 15-year-old son said the car that he initially was interested in was the Mustang Mach-E. And I told him, I said, okay, well, I said, that's an EV vehicle. I'm like, what job you working at? So as I'm listening to you, that's one of the ones we looked at just kind of online. So hopefully the information I'm gathering from our podcast today, I'll be able to share that with him and maybe get him back on track. But I was like, I don't know about your first vehicle being a Mustang Mach-E.
That would be a very nice first car for anyone.
Right? That sure right, would.
Right. So
on another note, speaking of Ford, I'm a Tesla owner. I know Fred is a Ford owner, but the companies this week made a really exciting joint announcement where
yes.
So all Fords starting next year are going to be able to use Tesla's charging systems. That vastly expands the charging opportunities for Ford vehicles, and it kind of changes the game. I wanted to know if Fred, if you can talk a little bit about that.
Yes, I can. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you my experience. I bought my EV in September, and I decided, you know, again, not, I knew a fair amount about EVs, but you know, you don't really know everything until you actually are driving one. So I decided that I was going to drive to Atlanta by the way of South Carolina, Hilton Head. I have a home down in South Carolina. I was going to drive to Atlanta for, we had a wedding to go to during Thanksgiving. And I just got my new car. You know, when you get a new car, you say, hey, you got to put it on the road. You know, I want to try it out, you know. So forgetting that this was a electric vehicle and not a regular vehicle, a trip that normally took to go from DC to South Carolina normally would take me a little about 8.5 hours. Well, it took me about 14, 15 hours to get there. And then I had to continue and go on to Atlanta. I had to make it to Atlanta by a certain time because there was a wedding. So normally from Hilton Head, South Carolina to Atlanta would have been a 4.5 hour trip, roughly. It took me about 8-9 hours. So I was literally driving all Thanksgiving holiday, okay? Wow. Trying to, and then I had to come back. I had to come back to DC after all that. And I'm telling you that I had to stop and charge about 5 times. So I didn't realize that. I didn't factor that in when I bought this. So, and then here's the funny thing. When I was on the road, I kept looking. I said, I don't see too many electric vehicles out here. You know, I'm driving around, wanting to compare. I saw Teslas, but other than that, I didn't see very many electric vehicles. And I wondered about that. Well, I knew by the time I was heading home, I knew why, okay? Electric vehicles at this point are just not great for long distance travel. They are in town cars, and they're great for that. But until the battery technology is going to continue to change and get better. But I think Tesla's, and Robert can speak to this, I think Tesla's has probably the longest range battery, and that's only what, 300, maybe 325, 350 miles. If you're talking about taking a long trip,
yeah, still. So the Tesla Model S now is up around 400 miles.
Oh, okay.
The Lucid Air is 500 miles.
Okay.
And those road trips, there's a little art and science.
Yes.
Taking a road trip in the EV. You really got to plan out that route before you go. That's one thing that people love Teslas for, is that it's kind of a, you tell the car where you're going to go and it's going to tell you where to stop and charge. So, and not all fast chargers are built the same.
Yes.
And people don't understand that just because the fast charger may say it's a 350 kilowatt charger, doesn't mean that your car can take 350 kilowatt. So road tripping in the EV, it does take some getting used to. I know Lavana had the opportunity to go on a road trip with us in the EV.
And I loved it.
So, and with the opening of the supercharger network to Ford vehicles, I wouldn't be surprised if that road trip that you took, you can shave a few hours off of that.
Oh, I can, because I'll tell you what happened on that trip for me. Again, new to EV driving, you know, this is my first trip out. That notion they call range anxiety, that's a term on it that you're going to learn. Range anxiety is the equivalent of, let's say I got a quarter of a tank of gas left before you run out. And then you're trying to find a gas station in the middle of nowhere, right? Well, think about it for an EV driver, because the infrastructure, again, is still growing, and Robert's absolutely right. You had to plan out, I had to plan out my trip. But here's the thing. Even planning out the trip, I get to an EV station and it's not working.
Yes.
So now, and that happened to me. I went to an EV charging station that I was given on my map. You know, my car told me where they were. You know, I said, I get there and I had to go off my regular route because, I didn't have the benefit of one being, you know, like a Tesla charger, which is everywhere. But, you know, I had to find my, so I had to take some back roads. So I get to this charger and it's not working.
Oh, no.
Now I was like, oh, my God. Now I'm down to, 20% or 10%. And this one is now, and to get to the next one, I have to drive another 50 miles. Well, now you say, okay, well, can I make it? Or, so that is, it is real.
Everybody talks about the Tesla charging experience because you don't run into those things.
Yep.
And another thing that people don't realize is as their battery gets full, as it's charging, the charging slows down tremendously. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when you're road tripping, you don't want to fill your car up to 50% or 100%. You might only want to fill it to 30%, 40%, just enough to get you to the next charger because your road trip will be hours less. So when you have the expanse of a Tesla network, you have that opportunity to charge much faster, enough to get you to the next charger and save you hours and time of road tripping. What other brands had found is because they don't have a proprietary charging network, such as Tesla does. Mm-hmm. They're reliant on other networks such as EVgo or Electrify America to provide charging for their vehicles. And that's why that announcement with Ford and Tesla was such a big deal. And it's going to make a huge difference with Ford owners.
Yes.
Because his experience of driving, literally when he charged for hours and looking for chargers, is going to be over. He might spend maybe 15, 20 minutes at a charger and he's on his way. And that was a huge announcement. So I wouldn't be surprised if some other major automakers hopped on board. Because recently it was a contest. It was a true contest. And I think it's all about reliability and availability of those charging networks.
Robert, you're basically saying that the Ford electric vehicles will be able to use the Tesla charging stations. Yes. And on Fred's computer, now he'll be able to see those Tesla charging stations. They'll be a part of his mapped route experience.
That is certainly true. And Tesla technology, as far as charging, is probably second to no one. Not only do they have extreme reliability, their network will tell you when their network is being used to capacity. It'll tell you how many people are charging at each station. It tells you how many are available. Their technology, as far as road tripping, is second to none. Like in a Tesla, it even will tell you, the wind is blowing a little harder than we thought it was going to blow, so we're going to stop you a little bit early. Those are the kind of things that Tesla people like, those Tesla road tripping adventures. Now, to be honest, Tesla build quality has been less than ideal sometimes, let's say it that way. But they're a new car building company, whereas a company like Ford, they've been building cars for a long time, and it really shows in their products. And I think you don't see a lot of those same build quality issues from the start with Ford vehicles as you did with Tesla vehicles. So there's a lot to choose from. It's not just about the charging. If you're going to base your choice on a road tripping car and you never go on a road trip, then you have probably made the wrong decision. I like to tell people there's no real good and bad EVs. There's good and bad choices, probably. But with a car company like Ford, it's really hard to go wrong there. But if you don't want to think about an EV, if you just want to get in and go, and you don't want to plan out your trips, you just want to do what the car tells you, Tesla technology is second to none. So I recommend a lot of different EVs to a lot of different people, depending on what they're looking for.
I wanted to, again, I'm the educator. And Robert, you are very knowledgeable, obviously, on a lot. I just wanted to throw out there, and I didn't know this before I started working with students and really looking into electric vehicles, but the history of electric vehicles. You know, a lot of people think that electric vehicles are just something, this is a new thing.
Not at all.
Electric vehicles have been around since the early 1900s. In fact, we had 30% of drivers back in the 1900s were electric vehicle drivers. You had basically you had a choice of three kinds of vehicles. You had steam powered cars, gas combustion engines, and electric cars. And what happened was electric cars, and this is just a little history for our listeners, electric cars became less popular only because oil became so cheap. And because the technology for electric cars, the battery issue, you know, they didn't know back then how to make that battery range longer. So that range anxiety that I talked about was a real issue back in the early 1900s. People, you know, and that would make the car less popular, and kind of faded out for a while until really the Toyota Prius kind of our issues with environmental sustainability and our government really getting serious about changing laws.
Even though those cars were primitive in their technology, I was really impressed to know like a Baker Electric had the ability to charge at home and had 100-mile range.
Yeah.
There was not until recently that we have another car, the EV, that could have 100-mile range. So the technology back then was impressive. And just imagine where we would be if it was continued.
Quick random question. Talk about range anxiety. What actually happens when an EV runs out of electricity? Mm-hmm. And you're on the side of the road. You can't bring them a jug of electricity. What do you do?
I can answer that question. It has not happened to me. Let me just say up front. That has not happened to me. But I do know someone that it did happen to. And what happened is they had a Tesla. Sorry. They tried to push it. The guy explained to me that he was driving his Tesla and it got down to 10% and the AC went off. Okay. Shut down. He got down to like 5% and the radio shut down. You know, he didn't know enough to turn those things off ahead of time. So things just started gradually shutting down until the car just completely stopped. So then what do? You can't call a tow truck. They had to call up for a flatbed. They had to put it on a flatbed truck and drive it to a charging station.
The charging station.
Wow. Yeah, it is definitely something that you want to avoid. You do not let your battery get down. I would say, I don't know, Robert, what do you think? I wouldn't let my battery get down below 20%.
You know what? It kind of depends on where you are. Here in Southern California, we're kind of spoiled because there's charging everywhere. So letting your battery get down to 5% or less is not uncommon around here, because we know right around the corner there's another charging opportunity. If I'm road tripping, I like to keep a little buffer, but it depends on my charging network. If I was driving a CCS car, depending on CCS charging, I wouldn't probably get below 15-20%. Yeah. If I was driving a car that the Tesla standard or the NACS, as they're calling it now, the North American Charging Standard, then I kind of push that a little bit because the reliability of their chargers, I know there's a 99% chance that a charger is going to be working. But to further answer your question, Lavana, you have a few choices when you run out of electricity. You can either get the car towed, like Fred said. There are some services now that do have charging on their trucks that get you a few miles if you're close to a charger.
Okay.
If you're out in the middle of nowhere and there's no charging around, you can do what manufacturers probably wouldn't recommend you can do, but you can tow charge. So because electric cars have regenerative braking, you can put a tow strap and you can attach it to another vehicle and they can tow you down the road a few miles, and you'll be surprised how many miles of charging you can get out of that.
I didn't know that either.
But you don't want to do that for many, many reasons. But if you had to, you can do that also.
We talked a lot about Tesla and Ford, and I love my Tesla, but I want a electric SUV. I love SUVs. So can we talk a little bit more about the other choices of electric vehicles that are out there besides the two?
Luckily now there's so many choices. Ford F-150 Lightning is probably one of my favorite EVs on the market right now. It's kind of gives you the best of all worlds. Before, the limitations of a pickup truck is that you really didn't have a place to keep and store items. If you're not with the truck, you have to put it in the inside the cabin or in the bed that might be open. But with electric trucks, you have a huge trunk up front.
Frunk.
You have that SUV-like cabin in the middle, and you still have that utilitarian bed in the back, which turns it into an amazing vehicle for almost everyone. It has the power in the back where you can power your house if you had to, technically, in a power outage and things like that. There's Rivian has a pickup truck and the R1T and the SUV, the R1S, which are amazing vehicles.
BMW has
has several electric vehicles now, Volvo. Including SUVs, Volvo, you name it.
Can we predict how long it's going to be before we're going to have more electric vehicles on the road than we do gas-powered vehicles?
Well, I think, Barbara, just to answer your question, I think with the president's declaration that by 2035 or 2030 maybe, that he has asked that all auto companies stop selling gas combustion cars. So we're going to actually have a phase out of gas-powered cars by that time. So I think then, and I think for a lot of people, if you're like me and you keep a car forever, you're gonna have to wait until they're ready to buy a new car. And I think when they are ready to buy a new car, because there'll be so many different options of an electric vehicle out there, that I think people will begin to, you know, they're gonna be like me. They're gonna wanna feel good about doing something for the environment.
Right.
As well as now they can still buy a car that is attractive to them. And it feels like they're not losing anything. It used to be that you felt like you were losing something when you bought a Toyota Prius. I hate using names because I don't want the companies to criticize me, but you know, it was small. It wasn't that, you know, it didn't look that great, you know? So he's like, But now cars that you would buy as a gas combustion have an electric alternative and they look just as attractive. They're just as powerful. And now you're buying something that's responsible to the environment.
And the new Prius, by the way, looks awesome.
Yes. And let me tell you, it has a little attitude to it now.
It has attitude, but does it have get up and go?
Well,
For what it is, for a Prius, I mean, it's still a Prius and it's made to be a Prius. They're not going to alienate their audience. But yeah, it's a very nice car. Now, Prius was not an all electric version available yet. It's still very much a hybrid. So, Fred, I know as an educator, I'm sure you hear a lot of fallacies about electric cars.
Yes.
can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, I just so happen to have with me 10 common electric vehicle myths.
Okay.
Because a lot of those fallacies that you talk about are really myths. So here are some of the common criticisms. One is that your electricity bill is going to go up. And according to the data that I have here, and I'm using the Electric Vehicle Association of Greater DC, they say, well, while you'll spend more on electricity, the savings that you get from gas that you normally would have spent on gas will more than cover what you are spending now on electricity. Well, that's one thing. The other myth, and again, I have 10 of them. I won't go through all of them, but here's some others. We just talked about this one. Americans won't buy electric cars. Well, again, because there are so many different varieties coming out now, they're very attractive. I think that's going to go away. The electric vehicles are too expensive. With like any technology, when it's first introduced, it is high, but Robert can tell you that the cost of Teslas have come down tremendously. And I think that all electric vehicles are going to come down over time. They're going to be more in line with what you would pay normally for a gas-powered car. And just one more and I'll stop. One of the criticisms is that there's not enough places to charge. Well, again, we're blowing that out of the water because that's changing as we speak. Those are the main ones. Now, they also talk about, well, what about the batteries, right? Recycling the batteries. When those batteries wear out and you have to throw them away, well, we all have to remember that gas combustion cars have lead acid batteries. Electric vehicles have lithium ion batteries, and there are actually more recyclable metals in the electric vehicle, as I'm told, than there are in the lead acid batteries. So you can get more life out of the electric vehicle batteries once they're done.
Yes. And another thing people don't realize is how long those EV batteries actually last. People think that in 10,000 miles, they're going to have to get a new EV battery. But all the studies have shown that usually the battery outlasts the car by a long time. And even when those batteries are no longer able to power a car, there's a lot of secondary use markets for those batteries. They can be used for home storage from the solar systems after they're used in a car. And those batteries, there's a primary use market, there's a secondary use market, there's a tertiary use market, and then there's a recyclable products within them. So by the time that battery sees a landfill, it's going to be not very much left of it.
That's good to hear, Robert. I was going to ask Fred, I was going to see if he got to the possible information around some hazards associated with the battery. And I thought maybe, I don't know if that was on the myths or where that was with the it having some explosive capabilities. So I figured he would get to that. I see Robert smiling. So I have that written down as one of my questions here.
Let me just answer that question. So okay. Your gas-powered car is far more likely to catch fire and explode than an EV by several fold. So EV fires, although they're difficult to put out, they're extremely rare. Just as pretty much they happen just as often as like a cell phone battery fire or something like that. And okay. Nobody's concerned about putting that same kind of battery in their hip pocket every day. Mm-hmm. So do EV fires happen? Yes, car fires happen. But all the studies and statistics show that EVs are far less likely to be involved in fires than ICE cars or internal combustion engine cars. So, okay. But those fires, when they do happen, yes, they're more difficult to put out.
And as far as safety with electric vehicles, how they compare to normal cars?
Well, for example, the Tesla Model 3s for the longest time have been the safest car ever tested in many standards. So that SUV rollovers, for one, is extremely rare because the batteries are heavy. The center of gravity for a car is very low. It's like when Tesla was testing their Model X and putting it through crash testing, they could not get it to roll over. Regardless of how hard they tried, they couldn't get the cars to roll over. And I'm sure we all heard about that famous incident not so long ago where the guy drove his family off a cliff in the Tesla and everyone pretty much walked away. So EVs, again, their safety is a game changer. You don't have a heavy engine being pushed in frontal collisions. It allows for still the same crumple zones, but a lower center of gravity, easier handling car.
The federal government has standards. I mean, no matter what kind of car you build, you have to meet safety standards. So, you know, EV cars are no different. They have to follow the same safety standards that a regular car would.
And you mentioned hybrids. So do you think hybrids are the best of both worlds or the worst of both worlds?
Well, I'll answer that. I'll take a stab at that. And this is only my opinion. I think hybrids are, at this point in time, are probably the better alternative if you're normally going to be taking a lot of long road trips, because you know you can get more mileage on a charge.
And I really think that answer depends, one, on where you live, and two, your use case. So if you live in the middle of the country where there's not a lot of charging infrastructure and you have an extremely long daily commute, then yeah, hybrid might be a better option for you. But for the vast majority of Americans, I honestly think a hybrid is the worst of both worlds, because when you're using EV power, you're hauling around a very heavy engine, making it using more energy. And when you're in gas powered mode and you don't have any more battery, you're hauling around a very heavy battery. So in both of those instances, the vehicle is not as efficient. But having said that, for a lot of people, a hybrid right now in 2023 might be the better answer, yes. Depending on your situation. So I think it depends on your use case. It depends on your area. If you're in California, for instance, and you do a very long north-south commute, then a hybrid is probably not necessary, because there's charging in California everywhere at every stop. It's not a big deal. If you're in the middle of the country, especially the northern part of the U.S., north middle section of the U.S., the charging infrastructure is not that great. If you're in one of those areas, then maybe a hybrid might be a better choice.
I know.
I have a,
oh, I know there's some people who they are so afraid of electric vehicles, but they will buy a hybrid because they think that they're moving a little closer.
Like they think that the hybrid is the entry level electric vehicle.
Exactly.
Right. It's a step.
Yeah, I don't think they really understand the workings of an electric vehicle. It's probably it's one of those things you have to experience and then you'll understand. But Fred, I know you wanted to hop in.
I just want to make a point on my little data sheet here. It says that on average, and this is just to your point, Robert, on average, Americans drive less than 40 miles per day.
Right.
So most EVs have about double that range. And so not, you know, you don't need
I think the average EV sold now actually is closer to the 200 mile range.
Right.
So if you're only driving less than 40 miles per day, I don't understand why you wouldn't consider an EV. I understand that the EV cost has been prohibitive for a lot of families, but with the average car in America now costing around $40,000, a used Tesla Model 3 still under warranty for $30,000 might be a great choice for a lot of families.
Well, Ivana, have you made your choice?
Now you gave me, Robert said there's over 35 different electric vehicles out there for it. So I'm going to have to go and look. I thought I was team Tesla. So now I don't know. You know, I'm a BMW girl.
I like it.
So I might have to go check that one out.
Oh, yeah. And then
the Ford Mach-E, I'm hearing about all the bells and whistles in there. So
they're all wonderful cars. For your son, for a college student, I would consider like a Chevy Bolt. It's one of the least expensive EVs out there. And with the tax rebate, it is an amazing deal. And there's very, very few EVs I would tell people to stay away from.
Yeah.
The convenience factor is so amazing to wake up every day having that charge and you don't have to worry about bad weather, getting out in the rain or the snow or the ice, trying to refuel your car. And we haven't even began to talk about the advantages of servicing an EV versus an ICE vehicle.
I have my first service appointment this Friday. I haven't had to go for any service up to this point, and I'm just going in for my 20,000 mile. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to rotate my tires.
Yep, that's about it.
Mm. Nothing else to do. What it's like. What is the service?
That's pretty much it. They'll rotate your tires and they'll refill your washer fluid and and make sure your tires are okay. Check the tread life and tell you to have a nice day. We'll see you in another 20,000 miles.
That's right.
Awesome.
Yep.
No oil change, no nothing, huh?
And when you take those factors into consideration, you're over the life of a car, you're saving a great deal of money.
I mean, this has been a very interesting conversation. I wanted to have it because when we got our electric vehicle, there were so many people like, you're going to get an electric vehicle? They just don't understand. And then when they get in it, they see the difference. I think more people need to understand this is where we're moving to. So definitely need to have more conversations about it so we can get people there faster.
Right.
And Levana, did you have any other questions about EVs?
Well, I didn't have specific questions, I guess. My car is paid off, so I'm enjoying it, not having a car payment. But because there are some options, you know, available, that's something that has piqued my interest. And I'm looking within this year's time frame, making that change and keeping that other vehicle in the garage and then using my EV as I would need to.
For people that are thinking about making that change and trading in a vehicle, it's never going to be a better time. Because of the chip shortages, the shortage of vehicles, the used vehicle market was extremely hot. Those prices were extremely high. But now as new car inventory is improving, the used car market is cooling off. So for those of you out there that's thinking about trading in a car, you might want to consider doing it quickly, or you might lose a lot of equity in that car if you wait another 6 months or a year.
So that's a good option as well. Okay, good to know.
Fred, did you have anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I'll just add that it just so happens that this Saturday, again, I'm a high school educator, we're having an electric vehicle Grand Prix. So there are area high schools here in the D.C., greater Washington area that the students build an electric vehicle during the year, and then they race them around this time of year. We go over to the football stadium. They set up a big track. And the idea is, how many laps can you do before your battery dies. That's sort of the race. So kids are learning about if you drive too fast, you're going to drain your battery quicker. So you have to find that sweet spot of how, you know, to drive not too slow, but not too fast. But, you know, you want to get as many laps in order to win this race. So you're not really racing against the guy next to you. You're really racing against your battery life, you know. So it's a really cool experience. I just wanted to share that we do that every year. We haven't, this is the first year since the pandemic. We used to do it a couple of years before the pandemic, but they suspended it. And this is the first year back. And it just so happened to fall during this time that we were having this podcast.
I think that's an amazing opportunity for high school students. I'm amazed that students at that level are building electric cars and learning about efficiency and battery technology. And I think that's a great and amazing thing.
Well, thank you for coming. Today was very good. Definitely can't wait to see which car Lavonna ends up with. We'll have to have you back on this podcast.
Definitely. Definitely.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for having me.
Enjoyed it. It was fun.